A happy Sabbath to one and all here in the room and those on the phone and those listening to the recording. And it's good to be in fellowship with you once again. I pray that this past week has been very blessed of God for you all, and praise God that He's brought us safely and with what health we have to another Sabbath day, another chance to fellowship and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So greetings, one and all, and glad to be back with you. Our opening song is Safely Through Another Week. And praise God for His divine protection. Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek on thy approaching Sabbath day. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest.
Mercies multiplied each hour, through the week of praise demand, guarded by almighty power, fed and guided by His hand. Low and grateful we have been, only made returns of sin. Low and grateful we have been, only made returns of sin.
While we pray for pardoning grace through the dear Redeemer's name, show thy reconciled face, shine away our sin and from our worldly cares set free, may we rest this night with Thee. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this night with Thee.
When the morn shall bid us rise, may we feel Thy presence near. May Thy glory meet our eyes when we in Thy house appear. There afford us, Lord, a taste of the everlasting feast. There afford us, Lord, a taste of the everlasting feast.
May Thy gospel's joyful sound conquer sinners, comfort saints. May the fruits of grace abound, bring relief for all complaints. Thus may all our Sabbaths prove, till we join the church above. Thus may all our Sabbaths prove, till we join the church above. What a day that will be. May we bow our heads and our knees for opening prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we meet here in the name of Jesus, and we ask that Thy presence will be here, that You will allow the atmosphere of joy and love and light and righteousness that surrounds You and Your throne be brought down to each one, and may we be surrounded and also open our hearts to receive a rich and abundant blessing tonight. We thank You, Father, for being here in our midst. We also ask for the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit to be here as well as honored guests. And may we indeed be enlightened with an understanding of the truth that we may have never understood before, and may be benefited in our walk with the Lord tonight. Dear Savior, we thank you again for being our great physician, and we ask that you'll please be with those who need your healing grace and power. We speak especially of our dear sister Ginger. Be with them and the family, and or be with her and the family. I pray that you will also be with our dear sister Osorio and help her in recovery or in what situation she may be in. And we thank you so much for doing so. And please, dear Savior, heal us of the maladies of sin and allow our spiritual perception to be quickened, made more alive, that we can indeed see the difference between truth and error, between sin and righteousness, and may be able, with your grace and strength, to overcome. And thank you for giving us the perfect example of how to do so. So, Father, we thank you for protecting us and bringing us safely through another week to where we can come apart from the cares of this life and to worship thee in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So Sabbath blessings, one and all, and good to be back in fellowship with you. We're in chapter 36 of Patriarchs and Prophets, titled In the Wilderness. And we're down at the very top of page 410, kind of mid-paragraph. The paragraph begins during the entire 40 years in the wilderness, but we're in the middle of that to the sentence God declares through his prophet. And where we left off last time was an individual was upset at having to turn away from the promised land and go back into the wilderness. And because he was upset, decided that he was going to show how upset he was and to willfully break the Sabbath by building an unnecessary fire in his tent area. And because he did so, his case was brought before Moses and thus before the Lord, and the penalty was that this individual was going to have to be stoned to death. And this was not a sin of ignorance. It was not a necessary situation. It wasn't cold. He didn't need to build a fire. It was the Sabbath. Everything should have been cooked if the fire was for that purpose on the preparation day. So this was a willful, knowing disregard of God's commandments. And he did so to make a statement. He was angry. But he didn't control his anger, and that led to the penalty of death. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up mid-paragraph. God declares through his prophet, my Sabbaths they greatly polluted, Ezekiel 20, verses 13 to 24. And this is enumerated among the reasons for the exclusion of the first generation from the promised land. Yet their children did not learn the lesson. Such was their neglect of the Sabbath during the 40 years wandering, that though God did not prevent them from entering Canaan, he declared that they should be scattered among the heathen after the settlement in the land of promise. So, God allowed them partially to defeat their enemies, but he also knew that their rebellion against the Sabbath commandment would lead to rebellion against God in all other areas of service and obedience. And so God knew that they were going to lose his blessing. They were going to be defeated by their enemies and scattered throughout the land of promise, scattered around the world, in fact, all because of their rebellion against God's Sabbath. So it shows that the Sabbath commandment is very important among the ten. And it's that one commandment that the devil is continually trying to lead God's people to disregard. And he's been very successful among the vast majority of Christians today to disregard the Sabbath commandment and to worship on any other day but Saturday, the seventh day. And the majority, I believe, are ignorant of God's claim. And so Christ can cover their sins of ignorance. But those who know that Saturday is the Sabbath and not Sunday, and who continue to disregard God's law, God cannot bless. And without his blessings, they cannot prosper. They will not be allowed into the heavenly promised land. Would someone like to take the next paragraph? Please go right ahead.
From Kadesh, the children of Israel had turned back into the wilderness, and the period of their desert sojourn being ended, they came, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, Numbers 21.
The next paragraph. Here, Miriam died and was buried. From that scene of rejoicing on the shores of the Red Sea, when Israel went forth with song and dance to celebrate Jehovah's triumph, to the wilderness grave, which ended a lifelong wandering, such had been the fate of millions who with high hopes had come forth from Egypt. Sin had dashed from their lips the cup of blessing. Would the next generation learn the lesson? Now, if the next generation did not learn the lesson, what would happen?
They would still be wandering because the wandering was to bring them to God. When people are really happy, sometimes it's hard to look to God because you're so overwhelmed with energy and happiness. But when disaster strikes, that's when a lot of people will turn to God for answers.
Amen. And so you can see that it's really out of mercy that God allows trying circumstances or even disasters to come about to bring the people to a realization that they need help. They need help from God to get them through. So without that trial, they would not have been brought to God, at least in their feelings. And sad to say, once the trial is removed, they go back to their old life of forgetting God. But if the next generation, if the children of the rebellious parents did not ponder on the actions of their parents and the result of God's withdrawing his blessing, and they couldn't go into the promised land but back into the wilderness, if they didn't contemplate that, didn't learn the lesson, then they're doomed to repeat it. That's why history is so important, especially religious history. It's so important to understand so that we can see the faults and mistakes of our forefathers and then avoid committing those same sins, those same mistakes. But that's if we're history students. And that's why the great part of the Bible is relaying history. What happened to our forefathers? The result of their disobedience. The result of their obedience. All of that is carefully penned out so that we can understand cause and effect, and thus be that much more advanced in avoiding everything that leads to displeasing God and removal of his blessings from us. And then to give ourselves to do all those things that will please God and obtain his blessings because of it. Amen. The Bible is very precise and a complete historical account of what took place. So if you want to be a history student that will benefit you with the reward of eternal life, then dig into the scriptures. So would the next generation learn the lesson? Are there any other comments before we go to the next paragraph? Please feel free.
In Leviticus and Deuteronomy, in laying out instructions for the sacrifice and the activities for the sanctuary, and in the movements from here to there, and who should be the leaders, it is so detailed, and I wondered when I was reading, why is this so detailed? And it came to me, thanks to the Holy Spirit, because it's a very precise way of tallying the history of God's instruction to the people, and he's a very particular God. Because sin is so pervasive, if you're not really, really particular about how you do things, it can creep in. And it's another way of recounting the history in a very precise way.
Amen. And so, when we read about the travels or the experiences of the Israelites, it's examples that we're to learn from, not just to know the history, but to understand cause and effect, to see what happened when they disobeyed, to see what happened when they followed God's will. All of that is examples that benefit us in these last days. And praise God that we have the scriptures. We have this historical account so that we can learn from it. So would the next generation learn the lesson of their forefathers? Next paragraph.
For all this they sin still and believe not for his wondrous works. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they return and inquire early after God, and they remember that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Psalms chapter 78, verses 32 through 35. Yet they did not turn to God with a sincere purpose. Though when afflicted by their enemies, they sought help from him who alone could deliver. Yet their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. At time turned he his anger away. For he remembered that they were but flesh, and a wind that passeth away and cometh not again.
Amen, and praise God for his merciful kindness. So the next generation didn't learn the lesson. They rebelled against God just like their fathers did. So God, in his mercy, didn't cast them completely away, but he brought judgments upon them. And when the judgments came, it woke them up, and they said, we need to seek the Lord so that these judgments will leave us and we can receive the blessings. So then they returned and inquired early after God. They remembered that he was their rock, their Redeemer. But it didn't last long. The next generation came in and forgot about God. So then the same thing occurred. God allowed judgments to fall. It woke the people up. They turned back to God. But the next generation rebelled against him. So you can see this pattern of sin and repent, sin and repent, sin and repent throughout the whole, thousand-year history of the Israelites. We have that history. It's easily available for anyone to read. You would think that with the Protestants, they would be able to understand the truth about following God's commandments. But they didn't. You'd think that the Seventh-day Adventists had learned the lessons about following God's commandments. But they didn't. Here we are in the very last day and age. We're seeing the signs that Christ foretold in Matthew 24 coming to pass. This generation shall not pass away till all these things. Here we are in the very last generation of this earth's history. Will we learn the lesson? ¥144,000 will. And praise God for that group. Finally, learning the lessons that God has been trying to teach mankind since the fall. For 6,000 years. God's full of compassion. He remembereth that we are but flesh, we're dust. We're weak, prone to forgetfulness. And out of mercy, he is long-suffering to us. And he will allow judgments to come against us, curses instead of blessings, to try and awaken us to salvation. And praise his holy name for doing so. Amen. A comment in the room. Actually, a quotation in the room says, I saw that many who profess to believe the truth for these last days think it strange that the children of Israel murmured as they journeyed, that after the wonderful dealings of God with them, they should be so ungrateful as to forget what he had done for them. Said the angel, ye have done worse than they. And that was from CTE 158. I'm not sure what CTE is. Maybe Councils and Testimonies on Education, page 158. I'm not sure. Amen, dear sister. Another comment says, figuratively, we are in the wilderness. Amen. We got the promised land ahead of us. Are we able to make it? CTE is Christian Experience and Teachings of E.G. White. Boy, I was way off of there. That should be C-E-T, yeah. So are we able to make it? As Caleb and Joshua said, with the Lord, we are well able to make it. Amen. With God's help, we're well able to make it. So that's the end of chapter 36, and now we're in chapter 37, the Smitten Rock. Begins on page 411. From the Smitten Rock in Horeb first flowed the living stream that refreshed Israel in the desert. During all their wanderings, wherever the need existed, they were supplied with water by a miracle of God's mercy. The water did not, however, continue to flow from Horeb. Wherever in their journeyings they wanted water, there from the clefts of the rock it gushed out beside their encampment. So a continual miracle of enough water in a dry, barren desert was provided for the children of Israel wherever their wanderings took them. Wherever God was leading them, there was an abundant supply of water. And when they left a particular area, then the water that was the source of quenching their thirst dried up behind them, and then was provided for them on their next encampment. So not only was a miracle provided in the water coming forth from a dry area, but another miracle was performed on drying up that spring or fountain of water, and then providing it for the Israelites on the next encampment. So the blessings of their thirst being quenched by a fountain of water followed the children of Israel. It wasn't for anyone. It wasn't wasted. I mean, it was water conservation. So the blessings of their thirst being quenched was not for everyone. It was just for those that were following God's will. Is it any different today? The fountain of the water of life is only for those who accept Jesus Christ. It's freely provided to anyone who accepts Christ, but it's not just there to be wasted. It serves the purpose of quenching thirst, quenching the spiritual thirst. And that's what Christ does. A question in the room, it says, imagine how much water was provided. Besides all the people, there were all their animals. It was a lot. You figure 2 to 6 million Israelites, plus I don't know how many millions of sheep and cattle and goats and, you know, oxen and donkeys and perhaps camels. I mean, there was enough water to satisfy every thirsting creature. But that was only in Christ. I mean, can you imagine watching the Israelites from a distance, you know, being one of the neighboring tribes or races, and seeing the water pouring forth from a mountain that they've passed by countless years and it was just barren dust. And then seeing the Israelites moving on and figuring that they could run down there and have that fountain all clean to their own. And when they get there, it's dried up. All that's left is mud. And this went on time and time again throughout the 40 years of wandering. So to the heathen, this was a miracle that was being done for the benefit of the Israelites by their God. And their own paganistic gods couldn't reproduce that miracle. So the heathen had a choice: to follow a God who provides for all the needs of his people, his followers, or to continue with their gods of the of their forefathers that are not as powerful as the God of Israel was. So as God was blessing his people, he was also working upon the hearts of the surrounding nations to recognize that he was a God who could bless. As long as the people were following his will. So the water that was provided for the Israelites after they left did not continue to flow.
Blessed Sabbath, everyone. Continuing, it was Christ, by the power of his word, that caused the refreshing stream to flow for Israel. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ, from 1 Corinthians 10:4. He was the source of all temporal as well as spiritual blessings. Christ, the true rock, was with them in all their wanderings. They thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. Isaiah 48:21 and Psalm 105, verse 41.
Amen. Are there any thoughts or comments on this paragraph?
Just as then Christ was truly the living water for them, he is now. And though sometimes we may become weary, just with everything that's going on, it's good to remember that Christ is our rock and that he is our living water that will refresh us when we don't think that we can go another step further.
Amen. And what's another name for rock in this context? Okay, foundation stone. That's true. That's true. In Deuteronomy 32:4, it says, "He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth." So another term, another name for rock is God. So here we see that it was Christ, the rock, that was providing for all the needs, both temporal and spiritual, for the Israelites. So then Christ, the rock, is also Christ, the God. It was by his divine power, his word, that he brought refreshing streams of water for Israel, that he provided manna from heaven. Not just the living water, but the living bread refers to the God, Christ Jesus. So Christ was the source of all temporal and spiritual blessings to Israel. And he's still the source of all temporal and spiritual blessings to you and me today. Amen. That beautiful hymn, "The Lord's our rock, in him we hide or trust, a shelter in the time of storm." Amen indeed. So if we accept Christ as our source, our spiritual nourishment is all going to be given us. The living water and the living bread will be provided so that we do not die of thirst spiritually or die of hunger spiritually. But Christ did not just provide for the spiritual blessings of Israel. He also provided for their temporal blessings. And it's the same today. Choosing to follow Christ as your Lord God and Savior will not just give you spiritual blessings, it will also give you temporal blessings. Even if you're all alone, as long as you're following the will of God, you will be taken care of. Your bread and water shall be sure. Even if you're way out in the wilderness and there's no one around you for miles, God can still provide for your temporal as well as spiritual needs. God had a raven bring bread to Elijah, way out there in the wilderness. Even if you're in the deepest, dankest dungeon, left to starve, there's been cases in which the followers of Christ have been fed by rats bringing them food. So Christ is all-powerful, rightly termed almighty. He's not the Father, who is also almighty. that Christ can provide for your needs in areas where it seems humanly impossible, like bringing water out of a rock. Next paragraph. The smitten rock was a figure of Christ, and through this symbol, the most precious spiritual truths are taught. As the life-giving waters flowed from the smitten rock, so from Christ, smitten of God, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, Isaiah 53:4-5, the stream of salvation flows for a lost race. As the rock had been once smitten, so Christ was to be once offered to bear the sins of many, Hebrews 9:28. Our Savior was not to be sacrificed a second time, and it is only necessary for those who seek the blessings of His grace to ask in the name of Jesus, pouring forth the heart's desire in penitential prayer. Such prayer will bring before the Lord of hosts the wounds of Jesus, and they will flow forth afresh the life-giving blood symbolized by the flowing of the living water for Israel. So when Moses was commanded to smite the rock with the staff, that was a figure, a symbol of Christ dying on the cross to provide the streams of salvation for any who would drink. The second time the rock was not to be smitten. It was to be talked to. We haven't quite got there yet. Are there any other thoughts or comments before we go to the next paragraph? The flowing of the water from the rock in the desert was celebrated by the Israelites after their establishment in Canaan with demonstrations of great rejoicing. In the time of Christ, the celebration had become a most impressive ceremony. It took place on the occasion of the Feast of Tabernacles, when the people from all the land were assembled at Jerusalem. On each of the 7 days of the feast, the priests went out with music and the choir of Levites to draw water in a golden vessel from the spring of Siloam. They were followed by multitudes of the worshipers, as many as could get near the stream drinking of it, while the jubilant strains arose, "With joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Isaiah 12:3. Then the water drawn by the priests was borne to the temple amid the sounding of trumpets and the solemn chant, "Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem." Psalms 122:2. The water was poured out upon the altar of burnt offering, while songs of praise rang out, the multitudes joining in triumphant chorus with musical instruments and deep-toned trumpets. So here the children of Israel celebrated the fact that when the rock was smitten, water gushed out to supply all of their wants for, I think it was over a year that they were there. And each year they celebrated this fact. Well, we see the spiritual application here, that Christ was smitten for us so that we might be able to draw from the wells of salvation, to be forgiven our sins, and to be accepted back of the Father. And dear ones, as the Israelites celebrated this occurrence, we also celebrate the spiritual aspect of this occurrence each time we have communion. recognizing the sacrifice and the death, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 3 to 4 times a year, we celebrate this glorious occasion. And Christ indeed is worthy. Songs of praise are to be sung to our Lord. Multitudes are to join in triumphant chorus in praising His name and praising the name of the Father from whom all blessings flow. Are there any other thoughts or comments? Please feel free.
Truly we can praise God because He is worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. And even though I know personally today I had a kind of a very rough day and fighting through it that, you know, the enemy would not win, God is always going to win. And so I just like to say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. No matter what the trial, God will always, always get my praise, honor, glory, and thanksgiving.
Amen, dear sister. And singing praises to God is one of the quickest ways to bring the presence of God to your side. For God dwells in the praises of His people. So if you're going through trials, sing praises to God and the devil has to flee because God's presence will draw near. And that's the key to victory over any trial or tribulation, is to have the presence of God with you. So here was this glorious occasion where the children of Israel celebrated the water gushing out of the rock. And they did this when the Feast of Tabernacles came in. On each of those 7 days, they celebrated. Next paragraph. The Savior made use of this symbolic service to direct the minds of the people to the blessings that He had come to bring them. In the last day, the great day of the feast, His voice was heard in tones that rang through the temple courts. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This, said John, spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. John 7:37-39. So, this river of living water represented what? This water that quenched their thirst represented what? The Holy Spirit. This, said John, spake he of the Spirit. Continuing. The refreshing water welling up in a parched and barren land, causing the desert place to blossom and flowing out to give life to the perishing, is an emblem of the divine grace, the Spirit of grace, which Christ alone can bestow, and which is as the living water, purifying, refreshing, and invigorating the soul. So from Christ flows this river of living water, the pouring forth of the Holy Spirit to work within you purification, refreshing, or being converted moment by moment, day after day, and invigorating, bringing to life the soul. Continuing. He in whom Christ is abiding has within him a never-failing fountain of grace and strength. Jesus cheers the life and brightens the path of all who truly seek him. His love, received into the heart, will spring up in good works unto eternal life. And not only does it bless the soul in which it springs, but the living stream will flow out in words and deeds of righteousness to refresh the thirsting around him. So in coming to the Savior to receive the water of life, the bread of life, Christ pours out the Holy Spirit to us. The Spirit brings Christ to us, brings the Father to us, and works within us purification, giving us spiritual life, and refreshes us every day. So with Christ, we have a never-failing fountain of the pouring forth of this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, and we will have divine power to overcome. And not only will we be blessed, but from us will flow out words and deeds of righteousness to refresh those that are thirsting around us, pointing them to the Savior for all these blessings. Without God, the Holy Spirit, we would remain barren. So again, it takes three gods to make possible our salvation. Not just one or two. Three. The three do not make up one God. They're three separate divine beings. But they are united together as one in making possible our salvation. In following their example, all of God's followers are to be united together as one, just like the Godhead, to make possible the spreading of salvation throughout the entire world, leading them to Christ. So just as the Father cannot provide salvation all by himself, he needs the unity of Christ and the Holy Spirit. So we, dear ones, cannot spread the gospel of salvation all by ourselves. We need the unity of one another. And praise God that we have the privilege of being co-laborers with them.
When you were saying that God is three, it made me think of a three-dimensional, which can be seen from all sides and is so much more impressive than just a one-dimensional thing.
Amen. That's very true. So we'll go ahead and stop here, and next time we'll pick it up at the paragraph, the same figure at the bottom of 4:12. So praise the Godhead for making our salvation possible through their unity. Well, dear ones, are there any testimonies, any songs that you'd like to sing, any requests? Anything else that you'd like to share, please feel free.
Sabbath blessings. You know, Brother Rob, I have to have my testimony. I look forward to it every week. Praise God. And I tell you, we could have definitely used Noah's Ark this week with all the rain we've gotten, but we definitely need it. The gardens are growing spectacular. Praise the Lord. And it's just fantastic. In the meantime, I was out today handing out tracts, and a lady asked me a question. She said, well, what happens if you hand out a tract and they throw them out? I said, well, I said, I handed it to them, and now it's up to God to water the seed that's been planted, cultivated, and harvested. I said, my job is done. I said, I'm not here to convert anybody. I'm here to share God's truth and spread the good word. And she said, well, I never thought about that, but don't you think you're wasting your material? I said, how do you waste your material when you put it out there? You never know who's going to find it. So that was a blessing, being able to talk to the lady, and she was pretty happy about it. And I got quite a bit handed out today, so I felt pretty good about that. Once again, like I said, with the rain, my gardens are growing spectacular, and I was blessed always with a green thumb, and not a lot of things at one time, but a lot of little things, like my tomatoes. I have cherry tomato, grape tomatoes, and they're coming in spits and spurts and hot peppers and different things, but praise the Lord, I was so happy, and this week has been eventful. I was blessed with, believe it or not, a new little refrigerator for my tiny house. And it's a 4.6 cubic foot. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but it's about my height, 5 foot. And so, yes, I was blessed with it, and it runs off my generator, so praise the Lord. My old one was about the same thing, about a 4.5 cubic foot, a little bit smaller, but I've had it for many, many years, and, you know, you talk about God providing the needs. God always provides for me, and when I tell people things, you know, sometimes I think they think I'm just crazy, but that's, like I said before, that's why I take pictures. That's why, I guess, to confirm things, but yes, what a blessing. And I was totally surprised. My other one, there was nothing totally wrong with it, but it was getting old. And I don't think it was working as efficiently with the generator as possible.
Well, amen and praise the Lord and Sabbath blessings to you too, dear sister. And I can bring up the YouTube of your precious fur balls if you want me to.
Praise the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, I sent a video to Brother Rob, which is the first one I sent. I just was not, it was not appropriate. But through learning, I'm always willing to learn and never too proud to change. So with some modifications, I wanted to share not only the Sabbath song that is on there, but my fur balls, as Brother Rob said, my babies. I don't really have anybody people that I live with or even associate with. If it wasn't for Sister Lynn, I probably wouldn't know any real people except for who I hand out tracts to. So, you know, I live with my dogs. And so anyway, I made a video for everybody to share with because I like to share, even if we're on a home church. You know, the idea of not talking to one another except for on a weekend or just passing by. I like to share things with people. That's why I do so well out in the open. But without further ado, I made a little video of all my fur babies, and if you'd like to see them, Brother Rob has the video. Thank you. God bless. Hugs and love.
Well, thank you, dear sister. That was a beautiful song, and you got some very lovely fur balls there. Oh, praise the Lord. I believe that animals are God's gift of love to us human beings here. And the greatest gift, of course, is Christ. But the other things of his creation are also an expression of love.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Brother Rob. I just wanted to share, if anyone's wondering, I have 12 dogs. Don't put your hand up to your head now. Yes, I have 12 of them. And I guess I live with a pack of dogs or they live with me. But the Lord provided them to me, and they're my company. And believe me, they keep me safe. And the Lord keeps me safe, obviously. But nobody comes and bothers me on my property. And that includes animals or people. So praise the Lord. And they give me something every day to do. You know, sometimes when people or seniors live by themselves or they retire, when you find that there's nothing to do, even though your job is to go out there and work for the Lord, there has to be some kind of contact with something that's loving and human and some compassion. Otherwise, you know, the world feels very empty. So I feel very blessed to have them. Sabbath blessings, all, and thanks for watching. Thanks for sharing.
Well, amen, sister, and thank you for sharing as well. There's been a request for the hymn Safely Through Another Week. And it's wonderful to be able to sing it again. Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek on thy approaching Sabbath day. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. Day of all the week the best, emblem of eternal rest.
Amen. Mercies multiplied each hour, through the week our praise demand. Guarded by almighty power, fed and guided by his hand. Though ungrateful we have been, only made returns of sin. Though ungrateful we have been, only made returns of sin.
Amen. While we pray for pardon grace, through the dear Redeemer's name, show thy reconciled face, shine aware sin and shame. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this night with thee. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this night with thee.
When the morn shall bid us rise, may we feel thy presence near. May thy glory meet our eyes when we in thy house appear. There afford us, Lord, a taste of the everlasting feast. There afford us, Lord, a taste of the everlasting feast.
May thy gospel's joyful sound conquer sinners, comfort saints, May the fruits of grace abound, bring relief for all complaints. Thus may all our Sabbaths prove, till we join the church above. Thus may all our Sabbaths prove, till we join the church above. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Praise God, it's a day closer. Now, we've mentioned Deuteronomy 32:4 in our study tonight, and that's actually a scripture song. So let me sing it for you. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. Deuteronomy 32:4. Dear ones, is there any other thoughts that you'd like to share? Any other songs that you'd like to sing? Anything else you'd like to bring forth before we close? Please feel free.
Amen. And again, I'd like to say praises to the Lord and thanksgiving for lifting my spirits. As I said, I really did have a trying day today, but I was determined by His grace. I did not want the enemy to bring me down in any way, shape, or form, or to stay in that, but to come, and even if it was just hearing God's word, and I just was praying on the inside for the Lord to lift my spirits, and praise God for whom all blessings flow, truly. And for the dear brethren here and for your prayers as I continue to lift you all in prayer, I have some unspoken requests that I solicit. And just thank you. Thank you all so much.
You're welcome, dear sister. And praise God for choosing to fellowship with your brothers and sisters. And thank God that He's in control of all things and that He's brought you safely through another week. But you asked for a prayer, so let us please bow our heads and our knees. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather together here and to dig into thy word of inspiration, to sing praises to thee and to uphold your name. Pray that you'll be with each one as we part just for a few hours and bring us back together again in about 14 hours from now for our church service. And we thank you, dear Father, for thy merciful blessings and watchful care. Pray, dear Father, you'll be with our dear sister and help her in the silent request that she had. Be also with our dear sister Lynn and help her in her situation and the situation of those around her. Please also be with our dear sister Ginger and family and help her to rest in thy love and to be content with whatever your will is at this time. Give strength and grace to her family. And help them also to rest in thy love. And Father, we pray for a healing, but we leave it all in thy most capable hands. And thank you, dear Savior, for allowing your presence to be with them and to comfort them. Thank you, Father, that we're a day closer to heaven, a day closer to this earth being filled with thy glory. And for our Savior coming to take his ransomed home. Help us to get ourselves prepared to indeed partake of the living water that flows from our Savior and be filled with the Spirit, that we might have the grace, the strength, and the divine power to be transformed into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for thy merciful kindness and for being with us now as we part just for a few hours, and for being in control of your work. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, is there any other songs, any other thoughts that you'd like to bring forth before we end the service tonight? Please feel free.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you rest and give you rest. And give you rest, and give you rest. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, and be gracious unto you. The Lord be gracious, gracious unto you. Amen.
Amen, and thank you, sister. And we'll have that as our closing scripture song, number 6:24-6. Thank you so much. But dear ones, may God bless, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you in just a few hours from now. Well, actually, 14 hours from now. Keep looking up.